Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome back. It's Dudes on Hockey, episode 110. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude. I just got back from Cabo San Lucas, Mexico.
Dude, you're back.
I am. Do I look tan?
A little bit, actually.
A little bit?
Yeah.
A little bit darker than my normal pasty white Irish self.
Nice, dude.
Yes.
Good.
It's fantastic.
I saw a picture on Facebook of you riding a dolphin, dude.
It's true. And let me be clear that I did take him out for dinner and drinks first.
Okay.
Dude, we swam with dolphins. We went on, you would have liked this one. We went on a America's Cup yacht.
Oh, cool.
And went sailing on that, like legit sailing, not just like they like pushed you out on a motorboat and like stuck you out there in the middle of the ocean.
Like 25 knots wind, boat heeling over, that whole thing.
Went tequila tasting. How do you like that?
Okay.
Fabulous.
Did you eat the worm?
A little mezcal, I did not eat the worm.
Okay.
No. The guy said actually they put plastic worms in the American mezcal now, so
weak.
Don't eat the plastic worm, dude.
Yeah, that's.
I gotta tell you, the most confusing part about going to Cabo San Lucas is when you get off the plane and they tell you you've prearranged transportation, go outside, don't stop for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You go out there and there's this guy. It's like, hey, who are you looking for? Well, I'm looking for this travel company. Oh, that's me.
Oh,
okay, all right. I'm believing that people are good people, right?
Uh-huh.
And then this guy, you know, is giving me the song and dance, and I started to feel like something was a little weird. So I said, okay, no, all right, thank you. And I kept walking. I go into the next. There's this other room, and there's a bunch of people in there. Who are you looking for? Well, I'm looking for this travel company. Oh, that's me.
Really?
Because the guy in there said it was him. No. They're lying. I'm him.
Oh, I'm the one telling the truth.
It's like, how about showing me some sort of, you know, ID that proof that, you know, no.
Great. Just show me a business card. We'll be on our way. And nothing.
Finally, I found the right person that I was supposed to get. I couldn't believe it. Can you believe if that what happens when you get off in, you know, the San Francisco airport? Hey, where are you going?
Right.
You know,
I'm with the Sharks.
I'm with the Sharks.
Derek Jocelyn, welcome to San Jose.
Welcome. No. You're not going to Stockton. You're going to San Jose, meet.
That's right.
Dude, I think the highlight of the trip, beyond all the beautiful things that we saw and all of the great lounge time by the pool.
Nice.
Was at this really cool restaurant called The Office. And any listeners who've been to Cabo San Lucas, you've probably been to this place. It's this restaurant that's literally on the beach. And you've got a great view of the ocean right there. They had this huge fiesta, this giant party. And this family sitting next to us, we started talking to them. They said they're from San Jose. I'm from San Jose. They're Sharks season ticket holders. So am I.
Wow.
Told them about Dudes on Hockey. So I'm hoping that maybe we have some new listeners.
Yes.
So they had a son who was a very energetic and enthusiastic Sharks fan. So if you're listening, please send us an email, questions@dudesonhockey.com, at that email address I gave you. And it's always great to make new listeners.
That's right,
in
dude.
Mexico.
You're
dude.
Spreading the word of Dudes
I
on
am.
Hockey.
Dude, we
the
got
gospel.
Maybe a few. I know. We're now, we have listeners in Europe.
That's
why
right.
not, you know, down in Latin America?
Or people in San Jose in Latin America. Not San Jose, Costa Rica. You're talking San Jose, California.
Right.
Okay.
See, they have guys on the beach that sell stuff, you know, sunglasses and necklaces. And Brian Burke was actually there trying to sell Thomas Cabrillet. It was a little uncomfortable.
I think he had seven guys around him. That's what I heard.
Yeah. He says, 2,000 pesos. Anyone? I need a power forward. Someone? No one.
Can't get a good deal.
No.
Speaking of good deals, though, Sharks got one. Setoguchi resigns. I believe we had that one.
Yeah, I think we did.
1.8. We were definitely a little high on the number, but 1.8 is a good looking deal for the Sharks, and it's in the mold of some other players that the Sharks have signed the past couple of years, Pavelski and Klo, where it sort of gives them. This is sort of like a retryout for Seto.
A put up or shut up deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which player are you? Are you the guy who scored 30 goals? Or are you the second coming of the Chichu?
Right.
You know, which one are you? Now, I think we both think he's going to be the guy who scored 30 goals, and I sure hope he is.
Right.
But a smart, really savvy play by Doug Wilson here, and I think a mature decision by Setoguchi to say, okay, I'm going to make this happen. And, right. And if he does put up 30 goals and has a great year, and I think he will, then Doug Wilson will reward him in kind, as he has with the other two young players in Klo and Pavs.
That's right.
Dude, I think we were pretty, you know, now I haven't gone back and listened to past episodes, you know, if you've been reading the blog and seeing, you know, how Evil Doug, as we call him, or ED, as I'd like to call him, because he gets a rise out of everybody.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You know, Evil Doug is going back through it, or won't go back through and actually pick out our quotes. But I wish that we could find out, because I think, you know, we were pretty close here. We said, hey, you know, a little bit under what the value is. I mean, some Sharks blogs are calling for, you know, a $3 million valuation of Seto.
Mm-hmm.
It's too high right now.
Yeah.
Too high. So good signing, dude. I like it.
Especially since Blake Wheeler deal was 2.2, and I think that was a pretty good comparable for the Sharks.
Yeah, that really helped. I think that really helped the Sharks.
Absolutely, dude. Well, tons of news while you were out, of course. You take a week off, and then all of this stuff happens. Jamal Mayers, a classic Doug Wilson move in a guy that came completely out of left field. No rumors, no notice about Jamal Mayers. Now he's a Shark. $600,000, which is a lot less than he was making last year. It's definitely this year's Manny Malhotra deal in terms of a guy that was paid X amount and is making X divided by two this year, right, with the Sharks.
Right.
Looks like he's going to be a fourth line type player. He can play the kill, has played the kill. And I you know, I don't have a real strong reaction about Jamal Mayers. I like the player. For those of you that read my post in the blog, you know, he's a good player. I don't have a problem with him. I'm worried. My big worry is that this means that Fraser McLaren is not going to be on the team. And I do have a little bit of a problem with that, if that is, in fact, what's going to happen down the road.
Well, I mean, we're fans of Fraser McLaren, and this is just a one-year deal. And mm-hmm. maybe they feel like Fraser McLaren's not ready to play the type of role that they're looking for here. I mean, Jamal Mayers is a proven NHL presence.
Yeah.
He can fight. I mean, last year he fought LaPerriere and Carcillo in the same game.
Nice.
You know, you got to like that. And you know what, dude? If you go back and watch it, he beat the crap out of both of them.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah.
So this guy, he's not going to fight. I mean, I did watch him lose to Chris Neal.
Right.
He's not going to go. He's not going to fight the boogeyman. Well, he might, but he's not that kind.
We're not going to like the outcome if that's
he's
what
not
happens.
That kind of enforcer. But I think Sharks fans are really going to like this player. The question I have is, last year, statistically, you know, he didn't have a great year. His PK time was severely down.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the role that he played, like with the Blues in 2007-2008, he was fourth in total ice time amongst forwards, and he actually led them in PK time.
Yeah.
So is that the player we're getting here? The guy who, you know, was second on the Leafs in PK time in 2008-2009? Or has he regressed as a player, and that's why Toronto... And I mean, he talk about being on two dysfunctional teams last year.
Right.
I mean, the guy was on the Leafs and the Flames. He can't. I mean, what, you may as well have traded him to the Thrashers too, and then you or maybe the Oilers.
Yeah, get the trifecta.
The trifecta of dysfunctionality. But dude, this is one thing that I think is classic Doug Wilson. He takes faceoffs.
Yeah.
He takes faceoffs. He was 55% in faceoffs
last
year.
Yeah.
And it's not like he takes like 10 faceoffs a year.
Mm-hmm.
He takes a lot. So. Another versatile player,
right.
A guy who could take a faceoff, play center if you need him to,
and a good locker room guy by all accounts. I mean, this guy is a pro. He's a pro in that mold that we're used to seeing now. He's the pro the way Manny Malhotra was. He's a pro the way Jeremy Roenick was, although certainly not as outspoken. But he's a solid locker room guy. He's not going to make any waves. He's not going to, you know, create any weirdness. He's got a job. He's going to do it, and. That's what we expect. I hope that he can rise above a little bit of what his salary seems to dictate. His salary is obviously in the Scott Nickel range. So are we expecting, you know, 7 minutes out of Jamal Mayers? Is that the kind of range that we're thinking of here?
I don't think so. I think he's going to play in the... I think he's going to play more ice time than Scott Nickel.
Okay.
You know?
He's bigger.
He's bigger and... You know, I mean, dude, what a fun penalty kill watching Mayers and Nickel out there together.
Yeah, that would be pretty
will be
fun.
Pretty irritating to other teams, because they both play with that same kind of 110% motor all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm intrigued. I'd never even thought about it as being the type of player that Doug Wilson would be looking at. So I think it's a good move, dude.
Yeah, I think it's so too. I just want to make sure we clean up all the loose ends here, because Brian in Sacramento sent us an email. So am I wrong, or was it not long ago that Jamal Mares was sporting shaved eyebrows a la Vanilla Ice? He checked his numbers out on hockeyvice.com. Not bad. You probably have to be a bit of a badass if you're going to pull that off. So the eyebrows. See, I wrote an eyebrow post on the blog because, you know, this is becoming a trend with Doug Wilson. You know,
the eyebrows.
It could be a little bit of a secret weapon,
mm-hmm.
or maybe a source of power.
I read on Hockey Buzz that he's actually thinking about signing Bert and Ernie. So maybe those will be the next additions to the team.
Nice. Nice. I don't remember the shaved eyebrows look, Brian. I'm afraid I haven't kept super close tabs on Jamal Mayer's career, and certainly not his shaving habits. So I'm just going to have to hope that if that's true, he's going to have an encore performance with the Sharks so we can properly review and evaluate.
Maybe we can get a picture of his shaved eyebrows and Mark Smith's red hair.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Together.
Yeah.
What an awesome pair that would be.
That'd be something.
So, I say okay to Mares, you know. It certainly tells a story about where the Sharks are in terms of their roster, you mm-hmm. know. Not really looking to maybe add a top six forward like you suggested last year with Stepniak. I think that's off the table right now.
Yeah, that looks to be off. And in sort of other housekeeping news, the Sharks did sign Derek Jocelyn to a one-year deal. Cap Geek says it's 500... Cap Geek has 500K, so this is sort of the standard two-way contract. Yeah. You know, Joss, now they already have six guys with Jay Leach. Jocelyn,
have you seen anything out of him that makes you think that he's going to be
an NHL
player, right? He's just a younger, smaller Jay Leach, right?
In a way, yeah. I haven't seen a huge amount from Jocelyn, but I didn't see any particular skill set that I said, okay, well, this is going to develop and then he's going to become an NHL defenseman in the mold of X.
Right.
Like
we saw out of Damaris last year.
Right.
Damaris had flaws last year, but there was enough upside that you were like, okay, this guy's going to stick and he's going to be with this team for a while. We haven't seen anything from Jocelyn yet that shows that.
And it's too bad because, you know, AHL All-Star and some other accolades, but he seems to be right on that line between not quite skilled enough to be an NHL player, not big enough to be an obvious NHL physical presence.
Right.
You know, this guy could constantly sort of be on that in that middle ground as an AHL, a top AHL player, but not good enough for the big club. So other NHL news, dude, and then we're going to get to some emails. Antti Niemi was not retained by the Chicago Blackhawks after winning an arbitration award.
Hold
so
on.
He is now a free agent.
Give me a moment.
So it looks as if the Doug Wilson offer sheet of Nicholas Hjalmarsson has succeeded, and
I guess
the Blackhawks have chosen not to retain their goalie. They're going to go with
Marty Turco
as their number one, and
I'm not that excited about that. I mean, in terms of when we know the history of Marty Turco and you know, this was actually the point of contention, right? This week
this
on the
was
blog,
the point of contention.
And you know, I didn't go back and listen to exactly what we said, but I think if I remember right, I advocated for Turco in terms of that I'm high on his playoff performance in the past,
right?
And if we face the Blackhawks in the playoffs and Marty Turco's in net, I'm going to be extremely uncomfortable, because he has a track record not just against the Sharks but against other teams of being a very good playoff goalie. So, is this a lateral move for the Blackhawks, or I think long term it is a damaging move for this team.
I think it's a downgrade even short term. You look at the stats from his last few years, they haven't been great.
Right.
I mean, one year he didn't crack 900 in save percentage, and he's been roughly league average the other years where he wasn't kind of bad, and he's not getting any younger. It's not like he's a 29-year-old goaltender. He's in his mid-30s. So they got Turco for two reasons. One, he's proven that he can play at the NHL level, and two, because he's cheap. Those are the reasons. So they could have gotten Patrick Laliem or Johan Hedberg. I mean,
Martin Gerber.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they sort of got the best of that bunch. Not that Marty Turco was never a good goalie. He certainly was great once. but I don't think he's great anymore. And I think maybe as Sharks fans, we're sort of remembering those times when Turco put in these great performances, and we're sort of forgetting those times where he gives the puck behind the net to Patrick Marleau, who scores in overtime.
Right.
It's like, maybe we should be remembering those times a little bit better, because I have sort of a weird feeling that we may see a few more of those moments from Turco this year than he's traditionally given up over the past year. So,
okay. While I think it's great that Niemi's out of there, mm-hmm. I'm a little uncomfortable. Like, I still the ghosts of Turco, until I can see for sure that he is the Turco of new,
right,
which is sucky Turco, than the Turco of old, which was the tough Turco against the Sharks. It makes me a little uncomfortable. But someone else who made a point on the blog says, look, you know, Niemi had a way better supporting cast than Turco's going to have.
Yeah.
In Chicago, I mean, you know, they've completely gutted that team.
What are they up to? 8 players from last year's team that are no longer on the roster?
When you look at their third defensive pairing of Jordan Hendry and John Scott, yeah, that's terrible.
Oh, yeah. Like, good night now.
That's not good at all.
No.
That's not good at all. You got to think.
That's like Ducks bad.
They're still $3 million over the cap, dude.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
So even if they dump Huey, which it looks like that's got to be the answer, right?
They don't have a choice.
They're still missing a forward. You know, they, mm-hmm. they don't have, they need another forward. And you got to think that the player that maybe they're trying to move still is Brian Campbell. Because of the defenseman that they get, what's the guy they got from Atlanta? I want to say Wisniewski, but that's not it. Wisniewski, mm-hmm. Ivan Wisniewski. You know,
I think
the guy,
it's Wisniewski, actually.
Wisniewski. And then they got Letty, right, from, mm-hmm. from Minnesota. So they've got two kind of puck-moving young guys. So Campbell is expendable, but who the hell is going to take that to?
Right, Islanders? I mean, that's the only team. You got to think of a team that's close to the floor that might be willing to take on some salary.
And not give anything in return?
And does he have a no trade?
Probably. Yeah. So he's not going
to approve. He's not going to go to the Islanders.
He's not going to approve a
you
deal
crazy?
To the island, which means he'll be in Kansas City. Hey, Middle America.
So, yeah. So Chicago really broke the bank last year Now they're just they're in dismantle mode to try and get under the cap. So it's...
As they stand right now, are they still a playoff team?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you have Taves and Kane and Keith and Seabrook and all those guys. Yeah. Yeah. You are. No question.
I think that, well, it remains to be seen, but, you know, they're a bottom seed playoff team, though, don't you think?
Yeah.
5-8.
You're putting Detroit ahead of them now in the Central.
I think right now you've got to put Detroit ahead of them. You got to put the Sharks ahead of them. You got to put Vancouver ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that fourth team, it could be, I mean, are they even with the Kings now, or...
I still think they're better than the Kings.
Yeah.
So
anyway. We shall see. Dude, question. A lot of people are saying, well, now that Niemi is a free agent, butterfly style, dude, is he at all on Doug Wilson's radar?
No.
At all?
No. No.
Another sound bite here?
Okay, I'm just going to be silent for a couple seconds so I can play this later. I don't think so. Why would you go out and sign Nidamaki, who's a butterfly goaltender, with, you know, 3 or 4 good goaltenders in the system, and then go out and get Niemi for even more money than you signed Nidamaki?
What was Niemi's deal?
Two and three quarters.
2 3/4. Which is just so, I mean, Chicago, it's just such a disaster that they couldn't keep him for such a affordable rate, really.
That's right.
When you think he, you know, this guy just won the Stanley Cup and he only got $700,000 more than Nidamaki.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's shocking they couldn't pay that. And I thought it was frankly fairly shocking that the figure was that low. I'm sticking to my guns. I've said it from the beginning. The Sharks are not going to go out and try to get some major number one type goalie. They want the internal guys to have a shot at that job. And if you have Nidamaki and Niemi, then your Stalocks and your Grices and your Sexsmiths, they have no chance. They have no chance this year to get any real playing time. And I just think that would be a huge mistake. Huge mistake.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens because, you know, now what are his options? You know, he's got limited options. And I texted you last night with my prediction. And I'm wondering what your take on it is.
And I'm wondering what your prediction was.
Maybe I didn't text you. Let's see.
Maybe you didn't. Yeah, who did you text? Text your wife?
No, I think I texted you, dude. But, you know, we're going to find out right now.
Yeah.
I think the team that Niemi... Dude, I did text you. I don't know what your problem is.
Oh.
I think that Niemi is going to end up in Edmonton.
Oh, because you said... Oh, that's right. I remember this now.
Because Javi Bulin's having some legal problems, right? And I think that the Oilers are going to look for any way to get out of that contract. So you break that contract with his bad back, and you go to Niemi and go, look, I know you were awarded $2.75 million, right? We'll give you $4 million for 6 years or whatever you want.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
And we've got Jordan Eberle. We've got Taylor Hall. We're building it the right way. Come be the goalie of the future.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a lot of other options, dude. I'm calling it Edmonton Oilers for Niemi.
It's a good call. I like that call, dude. It makes sense, especially if they can find a way to get rid of Javi Bulin. That, I think that would certainly grease the skids.
Mexican prison for Javi Bulin? Maybe. No. I can't remember where he got into trouble. But
I don't think it was Mexico.
No, I don't think so either.
In other NHL news, dude, so the Kovalchuk deal finally nullified. I'm not going to play the soundbite again because we've beat it to death in the past couple of weeks. But, of course, we said the deal was not going to be nullified. So the NHL nullified it, and it was held up by the arbitrator. So that means Kovalchuk is, as of now, a free agent again, unrestricted. Kings are already reportedly back on the scene. So are the Devils. We said right when we discovered that the deal was rejected that he has to sign with the Devils now. Are you sticking to that position?
God, I just can't see how... If he goes anywhere else, he's going to be vilified by the entire league, you know?
Yeah.
And to sit there at that press conference to be, oh, I'm so excited to be here. All those players flew in.
Yeah.
And then... You know,
I never wanted to be anywhere else or whatever he said.
Over a couple of lousy dozens of millions, he's going to walk away. Of course, it's going to be a lot of money that he's going to have to... potentially leave on the table. But now what are we looking at? You know, we don't know what the Kings potentially offered, but if the $6 million cap hit is what the Devils were comfortable with, well then do 6 years, $60 million, right? No. Yeah. Or, is that right? No, 10 years, $60 yeah. million.
Ten
do
years,
10
60.
Years, $60 million.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you could.
And do that, you know? God.
I think you're right.
You think he just wants $100 million? Is that all that matters to him?
Sure. Maybe he wants to be the first $100 million.
Well, then buy a plane ticket to Russia, buddy.
Right. Those are the two choices, right? It's going to be Devils or KHL, I think.
Yeah, I just can't imagine that he's going to stay in the NHL and play anywhere but New Jersey. I think they're going to figure it out if they haven't already. They've had so much time.
I mean, I think the Devils have some wiggle room. They made the cap hit what it was because they thought they could and not get in trouble.
Right.
So they got in trouble, so now they know. So they're probably going to, you know, be in contact with Bill Daly or whoever and just say, hey, what if we happen to sign a deal? Would the NHL have a problem with this? I'm sure those kinds of backroom conversations could take place.
So let me ask you this, dude.
Yeah.
The problem with the deal was that the money was decreasing over time.
Right.
But the... cap hit was the same.
Well, the cap hit is by definition the amount of money he gets over the term of the contract divided by the number of years.
Right, but that wasn't the problem. The problem was the fact that they were paying him $500,000 for the last
5 years of the deal.
So what if they just say, okay, we're going to pay you an equal amount every year?
Yeah.
Then there's no problem.
Then there's no problem.
But Kovalchuk wanted the money up front, right? Didn't he want the majority of the cash now?
Well, I think he wanted to be a very highly paid player in the league. He wanted to make $9 or $10 million a year. So that was one part of it.
And so you're going to get it anyways, bud.
Well, New Jersey didn't want to have to pay a $10 million cap hit. That's the problem. You can't pay him 10 years, you know, 6 years, $60 million, because then New Jersey has taken a $10 million cap hit.
So keep the deal the same, right? The, you know, 17 years, $102 million, and pay him... pay him the cap hit. Pay him the $6 million every year. Then you're paying him $6 million when he's 43 or whatever.
Well, the thing is, then he's going to retire and he's not going to get the $6
million. Too bad.
I think you're right.
I think the solution's easy. Like, I think
they're going to fudge the numbers a little bit. And I think it's going to end up being a higher cap hit than $6 million for New Jersey, because Kovalchuk is probably going to walk away when he's in his late 30s, and then he's going to, you know, throw away those last few years of his contract, and he doesn't want to be making big money in those last few years because he's not going to get the cash.
Do you think Lombardi just called Ponikarovsky and goes, "Hey, listen, I was just kidding about that deal that we did the other day. It wasn't actually
yeah.
real.
That wasn't me signing. That was my... That was twin. Evil Dean Lombardi.
Evil Dean Lombardi.
All right, dude. We got some more emails here, so let me get to those.
Okay.
Let's see. What do we got here? What do we got? Oh, Tom asked us about Willie Mitchell.
Aha.
According to a report I've read, he's confirmed that he has narrowed his team of choice down to 4 teams, including San Jose. Since this confirms San Jose's interest, I'd like to hear both of your thoughts. Apparently, he's healthy and has been skating. There is one word in this email that is more important than all the other words combined, and that is the word apparently.
Oh.
Because we don't know if he's healthy or not. I mean, he doesn't have headaches, and he's been skating. That's not right. The same as being healthy to play full contact NHL hockey.
Right. A guy who kind of makes his bread and butter being a physical player.
Right. And while everybody remembers the hit from behind that Malkin put on Willie Mitchell to take him out, and that's what caused the injury, people also remember the hit Willie Mitchell put on Jonathan Toews and knocked his ass clean out at center ice, right?
Right.
I mean, we didn't knock him out, you know, like put him unconscious, but I mean, he certainly lowered the boom on him, and that's the kind of play that we were going to expect from Willie Mitchell should he be a Shark. And the fact that he is no longer getting headaches and vertigo is a good sign. I am not on the Willie Mitchell bandwagon. I like him as a player. I liked him as a player last year. I liked him as a player 2 years ago. But now that he had a concussion that knocked him out for half of an NHL season, and he's, what, 35, 34?
Yeah, 33.
Yeah, I am no longer on the Willie Mitchell bandwagon. If we think this guy is going to be the number two or number three guy that's going to save this team, I do not want our eggs in that basket.
Well, I would hope that that's not how Doug Wilson would be looking at it, but I still...
So we want to get another number four?
This is a two-part thing. I still think that somewhere Kent Huskins is not going to be on this team next year. So if you can replace Kent Huskins with Willie Mitchell, and you got to believe Willie Mitchell's not going to get... What's he going to sign for, dude?
But he's going to get paid more than Kent Huskins.
No.
Ken Huston's making 1.7.
Right.
Willie Mitchell made twice that last year. He's not going to get that.
Good for him. Dude, you got scrambled eggs in your head.
Dude.
You think Willie Mitchell's going to get more than $2 million?
Absolutely.
Oh, dude.
I feel a bet coming on.
What is going on in that Coca-Cola can?
I'm writing this down.
Okay, write it down.
Okay.
I don't think anyone's going to give him that kind of cash. I think he's under $2 million when he signs with whoever he signs with.
Okay.
Although Ruslan Soleil did just get 1.1 today for the Red Wings. You can cross the Red Wings off that list, too.
That's right.
You know what I mean? In terms of people being interested in Willie Mitchell. I like Mitchell, too. I like his physicality. I like his veteran leadership. He will not replace Rob Blake's shot from the point. And maybe they're thinking Demers and Boyle would be fine. But I still think they can do better. And it's a big risk, dude, you know? How many players have we seen in hockey successfully rebound from concussion problems?
Major concussion problems? Certainly not as many as we've seen their careers take a major step back.
Right.
And
I mean, Kim Johansson is completely out of the league now because of what happened to him.
I mean, Adam Deadmarsh, he was a great hockey player.
Right.
Gone. Mm-hmm. He had a huge concussion, never made it back. I mean, there's tons of guys, both Lindroses, you know, so many. I don't want to name them all, but... I don't want to put...
Evil Duck demands you name them all.
Okay, Willie Mitchell, over $2 million. I'm going over. You want to say beer at the first game?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Under.
All right.
Would you put the percentage of odds that Willie Mitchell is a San Jose Shark?
See, that's a different question, because now you're asking me to gauge whether Doug Wilson will want him or not, and whether I want him or whether Doug Wilson wants him are two different things. I'm going to hope that Doug Wilson takes my counsel and does not sign Willie Mitchell. And because I'm going over on the $2 million bet, I'm going to say 10%.
10%?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say that given the current state of the roster and the money that's available, there's $3 million available as of right now. I'm going to put it at, I think it's a 50% chance that Willie Mitchell will be a Shark, just based on the fact of who's left. There's not a lot of people left, you know, out there. And if the trade market is completely dried up and he doesn't want to part with Clough or Seto, then maybe Willie Mitchell is going to be the guy. But if he gives him more than $2 million, I'll be very concerned, because that's going to severely handicap his ability to, like, if Mitchell goes down.
Yeah, you know, you're in deep trouble.
Then you've really put all your eggs in one scrambled egg basket, right?
Exactly.
So we'll see. I think it's very possible, though, dude. And you know what I'm trying to look up here? Go ahead.
All right, dude. I'm going to get to the next email. We can come back to Mitchell if it comes to that. I got an email from a guy with no name. So you got to put a name on the email.
A known name.
Anyway, but he's talking about might need a rough and tumble scorer. And now he's talking about Owen Nolan. So in this person's defense, he sent this before we signed Jamal Mayer. So now... he says, given the mutual need by team and player, maybe a $750,000 or $1 million one-year deal can be hammered out. What do you think about Owen Nolan? Now that the Sharks have signed Jamal Mayers, do you think there's any chance of Nolan rejoining the Sharks?
Any chance? I think it's going to depend on whether if there's a trade for it. Like, if the Sharks trade Clough to get Cabrelle, yes.
Okay.
Then there's a chance.
Right.
But the way the forwards are currently constructed, no.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think Mayers just made it less likely. If there was no Mayers deal, then you could see that perhaps the Sharks might take a flyer with an old Shark like Owen Nolan.
But what would Nolan's price tag be? You know, I mean...
$1 million.
He made 2.75 last year. Eesh. He had 33 points. Gosh, I mean, I if he wanted more than $1 million, you can't do it. And I don't know where he is in terms of his career. Maybe he's just happy to retire.
Could be.
I mean, he might, or maybe he'll just skate at Shark's ice. Here, dude, Andy Sutton.
Yeah.
Signed with the Ducks.
Yeah. Andy Sutton. Yeah.
For $2.1 million. And he's healthy.
Right.
So Willie Mitchell's going to get Andy Sutton money.
yeah.
No.
Andy Sutton, come on.
Andy Sutton, at least he's got a full functioning set of electricity.
So does Derek Jocelyn. Does that mean Derek Jocelyn's getting $2 million?
Andy Sutton, dude, I'm not saying, if healthy, they're not in the same league. All right. Mitchell's a way better player.
Yeah.
If he's healthy.
He's not even close.
But he's not healthy, dude.
Right.
He's skating.
So I think Mitchell with half of a brain is Andy Sutton.
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
Wow.
I mean, even with his uncertainty, he's going to get Andy Sutton money.
So what does that say about the Ducks' D now, dude?
Oh, it's terrible.
They trade.
Just awful.
Wisniewski. Yeah. Look at their D right now.
Oh, I don't even want to see
Lubomir.
It.
Yes, you do.
Oh, actually,
yes,
I do.
You do want to see
it's
it.
So funny.
Lubomir Visnovsky, Tony Lidman, Andy Sutton, Sheldon Brookbank,
yeah.
Brendan Mickelson, and Brett Feasterling.
Or you could say them if Cam Fowler could make the team.
Okay.
Assuming Brett Feasterling
and
is
maybe
awesome.
Lucas Spisa makes the team too.
Yeah.
So, you know, you add Fowler and Spisa, you take out two of those guys who at least have a little bit of grit. That's got to be the wimpiest.
Yeah.
Talk about a full-blown transformation.
Yeah.
Is Randy Carlyle even, should he even be the coach for those guys? That's not his kind of hockey.
No,
dude.
Not at all. And Bob Murray is making his stamp on the team by getting rid of every defenseman.
The softest blue line, I mean, other than Andy Sutton, I mean, do they have it? They have no real, true, proven grit.
No. They have nothing.
Wow. And hey, congrats for bringing back Timu. And I hope you bring back.
You made a lot of money, too. We got like over $3 million.
And then they're going to sign Paul Kariya.
Yeah.
So that Kariya Koivu Solani line, that'll be, you blow on them, they'll fall over.
I'm waiting for Guillebert to come back.
A Guillebert. And the old Ducks logo.
Yeah. Yeah. They had some Oleg
Shields.
Oleg Teverdovsky.
Oh, wow, dude. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, it's some old Ducks. That'd be old nice. Steve Ruchin.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're really reaching back. I'm trying to think of, you know, send us an email.
Joe
with your
Sacco
favorite,
was on the Ducks.
Your favorite old Ducks.
Okay. Anyway, dude, we got to get to the most important item, which is, of course, our selection of our English Premier League soccer team.
Okay.
Because...
don't we have a question that something had something to do with this?
Of what? Oh yeah. You mean the soccer thing. Yeah.
Right.
We do have a question about this. And for those of you that don't want to hear us talk about EPL, you can just go ahead and turn us off now. And so now it's just two of us, Doug.
Right. Hello. Thank you.
Actually, we got a lot of well-reasoned missives about who we should root for and why and all this kind of stuff on the blog. We got another UK listener, Rob, from Middlesbrough, England. It's awesome.
Good day, Rob.
Oh, man.
And is this a bad accent for you, Rob? You asked for a little more Cockney.
A little Oliver, more Oliver Twist.
Well,
can I have some more? Anyway, I think that's plenty of that. And he's hoping that we don't root for Newcastle.
Well,
we're not going to root for Newcastle. No. So that's one down. We had another person. Maybe that's a different. Oh yeah, Charlie emailed us and said maybe we should look at Fulham. And we talked a little bit about Fulham because they do have Clint Dempsey, and that's a good sort of U.S. connection.
Right.
Problem is Fulham doesn't really play that much on TV, and we're not going to get to see him much.
No.
So Charlie, good idea, but just didn't work out. So Fulham's out, Newcastle's out. Who else is out?
Aston Villa's out. You know, even though that ironically got the most votes.
Yeah, why did that get the most votes?
I don't know. You know, but it did.
It sounds
and
like
actually,
a car.
Their coach and, you know, over there, the coach and GM are the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, their coach actually quit today because evidently the team is selling all of their best players. So
right.
We are not going with Aston Villa or Villa. So it really came down for us between Tottenham and Everton.
And dude, I want to say, first of all, that by far, with 53% of the vote, the number one answer was who the hell cares?
Right. So we promise we will not be talking about this all the time.
Yeah,
or
we're
even
not going to
really
do like every week EPL updates.
No. So quickly do drum roll, please.
I wish I had one, but I don't.
The winner is...
Dude?
Tottenham Hotspur.
Tottenham Hotspur is the winner.
Because, as was pointed out in an email to us, you find out who it was from.
It was from Dimitri.
From Dimitri. Tottenham is the sister team to the San Jose Earthquakes.
That's
so there
right.
was a tie to San Jose. That won us over. And, you know, we got to go with that, I think. You know, if we were on the fence, you know, if you're looking for some sort of local connection, that was a very compelling email and evidence to us. So Tottenham it is, dude. Mm-hmm. And, as of this weekend with their opening game, we're on board. But what about this email here that came from our other listener, Rob, that talked about the EPL structure and how maybe it could relate to the NHL?
Oh, okay. Let's see here. Let me see here. What's the meat of this email?
Well, he talks about how teams can get relegated, right?
Right.
So in the NHL, if you finish in the bottom three, and in the AHL, if you finish in the top three. So, for example, this year, Edmonton and Toronto and who else was kind of
the Islanders.
The Islanders would have been moved down to the AHL. And like the best three teams from the AHL, Texas Stars, Hershey Bears, and Hamilton would be moved up. Would that even work under the current system? No.
No, it would never work because the owners would scream bloody murder.
Well, but they couldn't... because the teams share so many players, you know...
Yeah.
Although this is a loan agreement in soccer where you send out, you know, a player to another team and they just can't play against
you. Right,
so, like, if Worcester was in the NHL, Logan Couture could not play against the San Jose Sharks. He's actually San Jose Sharks' property.
Right.
So...
They have ways of dealing with this in the EPL.
Right.
But the question is would you be for such a system in professional hockey in America?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, I would.
It's not even close.
Oh, it'd be exciting.
Oh, it'd
you
be
know,
awesome.
Hey, maybe the Stockton Thunder, in theory, could work their way up to the NHL.
Yeah.
And that would mean that there would be more owners. You get these, you know, local millionaire businessmen who would decide, you know, Kobe didn't sign with New Jersey. All right, come on up to Alaska.
Yeah, you know, the Alaska Aces.
We'll give you $100 million to play in the ECHL and make our team good enough to move up and then move up. And then you get someone like Mark Cuban who would buy, you know...
I was just going to say that.
The Texas Stars.
Yeah.
You know, which are now the Dallas Stars affiliate. And he would... Or even a team like the Toronto Marlies.
Yeah.
Someone would buy that team and they would become an NHL caliber team.
Right.
You'd have to take away all the Toronto Maple Leafs players. But what would that do to the draft?
It would make it weird.
It'd make it almost obsolete, right? Because there's no draft in European soccer, as far as I know.
It's just all free agents?
I think it's just all free agents. Well, you sign young players.
The practical matter of it is that it'll never happen. But right. It's certainly fun to think about, and I wish it would, because as you said, sort of anybody could start a team. And
we could start a team.
We could start a team. We could start the Campbell dudes.
The Campbell dudes, and we could be the first two players. Anyone want to play for our team?
You should have seen me last night. It was bad.
Oh, dude. I played last night. Not good.
Yeah, it's not good. We only had like 3 subs. It's terrible.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
I was playing like 5-minute shifts.
Can I end with something, dude?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Mike Madonna going to the Wings?
Inevitable, I guess. You know, we talked about Madonna a couple podcasts back. It's just, he's a great player, one of the best American players ever. You wonder where he's going to fit on a team like that. I mean, he does great against the Sharks, so I think Sharks might think Madonna's a little bit better than he is, but he's not a checking line center. He's a good, skilled player that's just not as great.
Right, but that fits the Wings mold. They don't really have a checking line. You know, they've got... But he's not going to play with Draper.
Yeah.
He's going to play with Cleary. You know, that third line just got better, I think. You know, if he's replacing Patrick Eaves...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Upgrade.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, upgrade.
Yeah. I'll give you that. He didn't really seem to have a slot on the Sharks, but I guess they found a slot for him on the Red Wings. Too much money, dude.
I mean, you know.
You know, I'm not the kind of guy that wishes a player would retire and says he should retire or else he's embarrassing himself.
I wish Ken Huskins would retire.
Dude, it's not very nice. But I'm saying it would have been a better story, a better Mike Madonna story if he just retired. Everybody remembers that moment. He was in Minnesota and he put on the old, you know, North Stars jersey, and he got the standing ovation from the Minnesota fans. It would have been nice to see him spend his career with one franchise, first in Minnesota and then in Dallas, and just sort of go off into the sunset. But I'm not going to begrudge him the opportunity to continue to play professional hockey, but still, it would have been sort of more heartwarming to see him retire, and maybe better for the Sharks, because you know he's going to have like 3 hat tricks this year against the Sharks, so that's kind of a bummer.
Did I tell you I made tortillas?
Yeah?
I made tortillas by hand.
Was that good, huh?
Yeah. I did, and the guy who was watching me, the guide, told me after I was done, I said, well, should we cook them? He says, no, that looks terrible. He made me throw it to the birds.
I think I'm just going to cut that part, and we're just going to fade out from before so we don't have to hear that story, because that was awesome. Where have we gone in this podcast, dude? We went from Mike Madonna to tortillas.
Sorry.
What made you think about tortillas?
I don't know.
Dude, we got to get out of here because this is getting ridiculous
okay.
now.
Okay.
All right. Good to have you back, dude.
It's great to be back on American soil. Arriba.
Talk to you next week.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.